Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast. And man, what a week it's been. Someone sent me an email this afternoon and said, hey, I hope you've had a great weekend. And I was like, what weekend are you talking about? We've been really kind of all hands on deck, making sure that all the final touches for the Gold Online course are ready. The videos are uploaded, you know, the subtitles are all good. And then also getting the site ready. I know if you are a regular visitor to the website, you know that we had like a lot of sort of random ads on there the last couple weeks. And that was sort of as we were transitioning from one sponsor to the next. We still have Keenan's Lapel Guard Encyclopedia as a sponsor, and he's been a great partner. I'm still really supportive of him. But I wanted to get some of those kind of gross ads off the site. That would help the pages load faster, and you know, Gold's such a great partner that I think that's going to be a lot more relevant to the people that are visiting the site. So that's all going to be up and running in the next couple days. Should be a better experience for people browsing. But one thing before I talk about, we are going to talk about statistics and data today. But I also wanted to just acknowledge that the content on the site has been a little light lately, and I'm fully aware of that. And now that we've gotten some stuff off of our plate, I really want to commit in July to keeping good quality content coming on the site. I recognize that that's why people come to the site, and even though I get really excited about, you know, making this course for Gold Online, not everyone that likes the site is going to sign up for that. So I need to sort of keep my eye on the ball and keep good content coming. And I appreciate people that visit the site and return to it, even, you know, if there's nothing new on there, they like to check. And I promise we're going to have stuff for everyone soon. Another thing I just want to say that happened this week is in another life, I wrote a book about training in martial arts, training in Monterey, California. That book's called The True Believers. And I've been so busy that I sort of quietly has been selling, and it is almost a bestseller in the martial arts genre, I suppose. Amazon lets you list your book in multiple categories, up to 10 categories. And, you know, some of those categories we've broken into the top five as far as bestsellers. So that's been something that I've been trying to give some attention to, because that's was a book that I kind of independently published, and it sort of launched my writing career to the point where I was able to quit my job last year and become a professional martial arts writer, which is what I am. I'm the managing editor of ujujitsu.com. I wrote True Believers. I got other stuff. And of course, I write for High Percentage all the time. So a lot of good stuff's been happening, but I'm excited in July to kind of focus in and do what I love, which is staring at spreadsheets. Okay, so as promised, today is sort of our part three in our last podcast that we'll do for a while, at least, on self-defense. And the most controversial article that I ever wrote was an article called, and I just wrote a couple months ago, it was called Ground Fighting is Statistically Safer and We Can Prove It. And, you know, sometimes I write headlines that I'm, you know, they're sort of designed to be catchy and get people interested. In real life, I'm much more, and when you read the articles, you see that I parse my words very carefully, and I actually don't want to upset anybody, but at the same time, you know, that's not how headlines work, I guess. But that was an article that the headline itself caused, you know, some real just crazy people to come out of the woodworks on comment sections or when they shared it. And here is my reasoning, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So anyone that has had this sort of barbershop talk about ground fighting and whether it's wise to take a street fight to the ground, the most common objection or rebuttal that always comes up is that if you were to go to the ground in a street fight, a third party could come in, get involved, and you would be at a big disadvantage. You know, the friend comes by and just kicks you in the face or something like that. And that's always sort of been the argument. And we should say right off the bat, I think that's a very legitimate criticism. I mean, if you engage on the ground, you've pretty much devoted 100% of your attention and your body to dealing with one opponent. Another opponent comes by, you're going to be ill-equipped to deal with them, as opposed to if you were standing. So one is just to acknowledge from the beginning, like, that's a real thing. But when we watched several hundred street fights, or I should say a couple hundred street fights, we found a couple things. One, third parties getting involved was actually less common than people think. I think it was, here, I'll get the numbers real quick so I don't misspeak. It was 26% of fights saw a third party getting involved. And of that 26%, a decent number of those still had indecisive outcomes. So a third party getting involved wasn't necessarily a death sentence. However, I think only 11% of fighters or of participants that face multiple attackers were actually able to incapacitate any of their assailants. So fighting multiple attackers is not good, and we have the data to show that. But so that's sort of the downside of engaging in the ground, is there is always a threat of multiple attackers. There's about a 1 in 4 chance it'll happen, but 1 in 4 is not necessarily insignificant. However, we still have other evidence that shows that it is in your best interest, absolutely, to engage in ground fighting, and it's actually in your opponent's best interests. Let me explain. 45% of the fights that remained on the feet resulted in a knockout, but that number dropped to 12% if the fight went to the ground. In fact, 58% of all ground fights ended with no clear resolution, which is really the same as no serious injuries. Fights that stayed standing ended indecisively only 43% of the time. So that's a marked increase in basically fights that end without serious injuries or people being incapacitated. It's important to note that these numbers go both ways, though. So even participants who quote-unquote lost fights on the ground, they were also less likely to lose via knockout. So it was safer for them to be taken down to the ground as well. Now, there were several street fights we observed where one of the participants clearly had some sort of grappling or Brazilian jiu-jitsu training, and they were able to submit or even choke unconscious their opponent. In the case of a submission, we typically did not count that as someone being incapacitated unless they were actually choked unconscious. So we didn't really consider that being necessarily a violent outcome. And you might think it's a violent outcome, but really when you've seen someone's face just get pulverized by a million punches, you realize there's a huge difference between that and, you know, someone getting armbarred in a street fight, which we did see from time to time, and essentially surrendering or giving up the will to fight because of that. This reminds me of one of the famous John Donahue quotes when he was on, I think it was Joe Rogan's podcast, when he talked about one of the most dangerous mechanical things that a human being can do is explosive energy generated from the hips, and that's what allows us to punch really strong, have really strong kicks, is that explosive hip energy. But when you're lying down on the ground, you lose that explosive energy, so you don't have the ability to, you know, essentially incapacitate, knock someone out. And that absolutely bears out when you look at the statistics. And while there were certainly violent outcomes that happened during the ground, in the ground fighting phase of street fights, the vast majority of those violent outcomes were someone being kind of overwhelmed by strikes. To me, when I think about violent outcomes, the absolute worst is a knockout, a KO. Being overwhelmed by strikes is obviously not good either, and there could be some very serious injuries, but the knockout is kind of the nightmare scenario. So if you think about it, just being able to get a fight down to the ground, it takes your chances of being knocked out from a coin toss, which is, I think it was 45% if you're standing, to only 12% if you're on the ground. So you've dramatically increased your likelihood that you're going to walk away safely. Even if you get roughed up, you know, the worst is kind of in your rearview mirror, at least from a statistical standpoint at that stage, once it's got to the ground. Anything can happen, but again, we're all about playing the numbers. Roll the dice 100 times and see if the odds come out in your favor. And the odds clearly say that you should become a ground fighter if you're interested in self-defense. That's all for this podcast. We have another article definitely coming out next week, and the topic of that article is we're tracking when submissions happen in 5-minute matches, and we're going to kind of graph that out and see if there's certain hotspots or danger zones. We know that in street fights, knockouts tend to happen in the first 10 seconds or so, and if they don't happen then, they're probably not going to happen. So it kind of prompted the question, Is it similar in IBJJF matches? So far, we're over halfway done, and unfortunately, the answer is no. They seem pretty spread out, but we still have, 50, 60 matches to record, so maybe those numbers will kind of start focusing in certain directions. Also, if you're interested in the book I mentioned in the opening of the podcast, it's called The True Believers. You can Google that with my name, Lewis Martin, L-O-U-I-S. You should find it no problem. Just Google, or you could Google True Believers Martial Arts. It's a quick read. There's paperback and Kindle. It has, I think, like all 5-star reviews right now on Amazon. Beyond that, I encourage you to check out Gold BJJ Online. There's no subscription, so if you want to just like fork over 20 for a month, especially if you're in the market for a gi or a rash guard, you'll get 10% off that purchase. Not that I encourage anyone to get it for a month and cancel, but you could absolutely do that and pick up some apparel and then get access to some cool lessons. I'm really enjoying the other lessons that are on there right now, especially the Lister one, because I'm a leg locker. Okay, thank you guys very much, and we'll see you next week on the High Percentage Podcast.